This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Pam Houston is a writer whose first book, published in 1992, made her a national name. She's continued to write. She teaches English at UC Davis and teaches at other places. She's a featured speaker and presenter at the 5th Annual Sierra Writers Conference this Saturday in Grass Valley. There's a lot to talk about here, so I'm glad to say that Pam's on the phone with us. Will you tell me about that first book, which is titled Cowboys Are My Weakness? It won the 1993 Western State Book Award. It was translated into 9 languages. And what was it about that book that captivated people?
Well, I guess it came at a time when women were really starting to enter the kinds of outdoor pursuits that had been pretty much the province of men. I was a whitewater river guide. I was also a hunting guide in Alaska for Dall sheep. And I was, at that time, you know, women hadn't done a lot of guiding, I think, in the wilderness. And also, I think because I was from New Jersey and I came out and I fell in love with this landscape and you know, at first thought, oh, I have to have a man to translate that landscape for me, and then realized I could have my own relationship with the wilderness and with the West. I think it was just timing, honestly, and just at a time when a lot of women were like, hey, I can go winter camping by myself at night. And to look back on that now, it seems like, well, of course. But at that time, women were just really starting to feel confident going out in the wilderness in large numbers by themselves.
Mm-hmm. You were still really shaping your own adult life. What happened once that book was published?
Well, of course, you know, it was a collection of short stories from a girl who lived in Utah, so no one expected it to do what it did and make a name and really basically make my career, especially not me. I was paid $21,000 for that book, which was more money than I thought I would ever have. And because I was kind of an adrenaline junkie and addicted to the rush of various things, you know, rivers and mountains, I bought a ranch for 5% down. The lady, the widow who sold it to me, carried the note herself, and I bought a 120-acre homestead at 9,000 feet in Colorado, and that's what I did with my advance money. And then that began a 26-year now journey of learning how to be responsible and learning how to care for a big piece of land at very high altitude and learning about animals and giving shots in the middle of the night and cleaning my own chimney, and the list goes on and on. But it grew me up, is one way to say it. Buying that place and having to find a way to pay for it, and even more important, learning to care for it.
And so that really brings us to the memoir, Deep Creek, because it's all about those years on the ranch and all the animals, the menagerie, your love and connection with animals. But I really think, Pam, this book takes you into a different understanding of yourself and admitting that besides adrenaline, you're pretty addicted to caffeine, too.
Well, I work hard, that's for sure. And I had to work hard because I had a giant piece of property to pay off. And, of course, Cowboys gave me those opportunities, too, you know, to teach and to speak and to write more books. All a writer really wants is the opportunity to write another book. And Cowboys gave me that. But I think Deep Creek, the writing of Deep Creek, and the kind of taking account of all that time since Cowboys, you know, I knew the question of that book was, whatever happened to that Cowboys woman, and mm-hmm. and how's her life now? And I think with Deep Creek, when I first started writing it, my editor, my agent, we were all like, this is going to be all ranch all the time. It's not going to be about your childhood. It's not going to be about your choices in men, like some of my other books. It's just going to be the ranch all the way. And then I wrote that draft and it didn't work, you know, and the ranch needed to be a respite and a relief and a healing place for the things that did happen to me as a kid. And it needed to be a place that I learned how to face the climate catastrophe that's coming up. In other words, the world encroached on the book. And I think in a good way. And I learned the main lesson of writing Deep Creek. If you're lucky, you learn something every time you write a book. And the main lesson of writing Deep Creek for me is that the way that I look back at my past and my difficult childhood, I grew up in an abusive home, I have to look at that past with both sort of love and wonder because it got me here, and also with grief about what happened to that girl. And likewise, the climate catastrophe. I live up there in that beautiful place, my little corner of paradise, but it's changing all the time with the fires and the drought, as, you know, of course, things are changing in California. And I have to every day be grateful for all the beauty that's around me, and at the same time not ignore the fear and the grief and the shame that I feel personally about my contribution to the climate crisis. You know, I think those two things, we can hold those two things together and, you know, and live more meaningful lives.
I'm talking with Pam Houston. You might know one of her other books that is extremely popular, Contents Have Shifted, is the title. And she's going to be giving the keynote speech at the Sierra Writers Conference this Saturday in Grass Valley. She also presents a multimedia talk that fits in exactly with what we're saying, Pam, and that is how we become who we are in the world. Both of the events are on Saturday, and we'll post a link. I want you to say more about challenging yourself to have more than just a beautiful place of land on this earth with wonderful animals and great relationships. I've heard you talk about a time when you had to say to yourself, can't I and shouldn't I be doing more? Shouldn't I have been saying more? You're very outspoken politically. You're really raw in your memoir about your hardest, darkest days.
Mm-hmm.
What was some of that self-conversation that made you think you had to give more?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've been so lucky in my life, and so many people, there's a chapter in the book called Kindness, which is about how many times people who were total strangers to me got me out of a jam or taught me something I needed to know to care for the ranch, or, you know, took me home when I was wet and cold and lost my wallet. You know, I have been the beneficiary of so much kindness in my life, you know, in spite of the parents I was born to. And so I just feel like I need to earn my place on the planet. I feel like I need to give that back. I want to help I feel like going into this climate catastrophe and also our political situation right now, I feel like compassion is the thing we need. And more than anything, we're going to need it in giant amounts, you know, increasing amounts every minute. And another thing that's really important to me is teaching. You know, I teach a lot of places. I founded an organization called Writing by Writers, where we teach lots of different kinds of people who aren't necessarily connected to universities. I teach at two universities. I love my teaching. I love mentoring books of young people into the world. I believe that hope is with these young writers who are coming up and educating us in how to be in the world. So, that's meaningful work. I don't do it as any sort of debt to pay. Like, for me, it's the most important part of my work is my teaching and, again, mentoring these young writers. And one of them will be reading with me, actually, one of my mentees up in Grass Valley on Saturday, Kate Wiesel, who just won the Drew Hines Prize. She'll be kind of my opening act up there. And to me, that's the most rewarding work, giving back in that way, but just giving in that way. You know, like I said, it doesn't feel like a debt. It feels like what I would most love to be doing, honestly, is seeing these young writers. I go into a bookstore right now, and I can point to 26 books, you know, or 30 books right at this moment where I can say, oh yeah, that was my student and I was her thesis advisor and I was his thesis advisor. So to me, that's just really the greatest reward of my life.
Hmm. Are you still teaching at the Institute of American Indian Arts as well?
I am indeed, yes.
So with UC Davis and that job, you live in Colorado. How do you commute? This is pretty amazing.
We're back to the caffeine. I have cut my commitment at UC Davis to half time. So I am either in odd years, I'm in Davis 10 weeks a year, and in even years, I'm in Davis 20 weeks a year. My job at the Institute of American Indian Arts, where I was Tommy Orange's mentor, by the way, just a shout out to a semi-local writer who has made a big, big difference in the literary community. at IA, we're on low residency, so I'm in Santa Fe teaching there for 3 10-day periods a year, but we're not, you know, in session in a normal semester way. We telecommute with the students. And then my Writing by Writers organization, we have probably 7 events a year for non-university affiliated writers, and they occur mostly in California and Colorado. We have one up in Sitka, Alaska, and one in France, but those are all limited. They're 4 days or 5 days or 10 days. So that's kind of my calendar. And then, you know, being with my animals and writing fits in between. It's a very, very busy life, I will grant you. But also, I have a system at the ranch where I get to invite a young writer who I've worked with in one of my jobs to come and stay and work on their book for a year at a time. And, you know, so it becomes a kind of informal residency for my mentees to come in and work, and I teach them how to care for the animals, and they watch the ranch while I'm gone.
Wow, what an amazing opportunity. On the ranch right now, you have horses, yes?
Yes, horses.
Chickens? Yes,
and,
donkeys?
Icelandic sheep.
Icelandic
and
sheep.
And a miniature donkey, okay. And Irish wolfhounds, and Mr. Kitty.
I saw a wedding picture too, Pam.
It's true. It's true.
You have a husband on the ranch.
A year and a half ago. I got married. That was the last thing I thought would ever happen. Talk about something I didn't have time for. falling in love was not something I had on my schedule. But I did with a 41-year newly retired forester, U.S. Forest Service employee named Mike Blakeman. He's lived in my area for a long time and loves it just as much as I do. But now he's my roadie, so he's often on the road with me. And we're having a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. Like I said, last thing I expected to happen, but it did.
Well, in your memoir, which is deep and beautiful, I think there are times when you work your way from a loss of strategies or a loss of life coping skills into a place of real steadiness, real grounding, and you say it's often through the earth. But Cheryl Strayed of Wild is a great fan of your work and of your story, too. So I'm sure, and I'll ask you this as just a final thought, you have learned some lessons that are great guidance for anyone who's searching in any way in their life. And beyond just touching the land that we stand on, what else do you offer?
Well, you know, ever since I was a very young person, you know, the natural world has mothered me. I, without even knowing what I was doing, when I was a tiny kid, I turned to it because I wasn't receiving mothering. And so for me, you know, the beauty, especially now in these times when we know that it's so fleeting, you know, it can be a blooming tree in the middle of a city block, but anytime I see anything beautiful, I was just in Yellowstone and I'm talking to you right now from Utah, you know, just the beauty of the natural world. And, you know, I wish I had more. I wish I had another answer. But for
that's
me, that's
answer.
My ongoing
yeah.
answer, right. You know, is that if I'm sad, if I feel like I can't cope, if I feel like I'm not going to make it, you know, put your boots on and go for a walk. And wherever you are, I can do that in a city too. And just see, you know, look for beauty. And, I mean, to me, there's a line in the book that says, the earth doesn't know how not to be beautiful. And I think that's the truth, even now, you know, even now. And so that's what's done it for me. And as I said at the beginning, just the kindness of strangers and, you know, friendships and literature, you know, books have a
all right,
beautiful
Pam,
way of
I'm going to have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Pam Houston is the keynote speaker and presents a workshop on memoir at the Sierra Writers Conference this Saturday in Grass Valley. We've posted a link with more details at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. On tomorrow's show, we will talk with the U.S. Forest Service director we had hoped to have join us last week. Shauna LaGarza will discuss the fires in Australia and that tragic aircraft crash that killed three Americans. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us for Insight.